side. But just maybe, like a ukulele, mama made a baby. Really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me, cause I love to lay you lazy. We could close the curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. We could pretend it all the time, no. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Can't you see, can't you see? Rain all day and I don't. Telephone singing, ringing, it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here, and everything we need is enough. Just so easy when the whole world fits inside of your arms. Do we really need to pay attention to the alarm? Wake up slow, mm-mm, wake up slow. Even notice when I try to show you this song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. And we could pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really, really, really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? You gotta wake up slow.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick-Ass. It's Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at 8 p.m. at Planet FM 104.6, or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz, or listen to on our podcast, which goes on 5 minutes after the show. So hello future Georgia, who will be listening to this over the next couple of days. You're real cool. So this is the voice, yes, of not Richard Green, but of Georgia Parker. Richard is away for another week, but he will be back next week, and we hope you're having a great time in Wellington, Richard. Now, I just played a bit of Jack Johnson. He is playing right now at the Villa Maria Wine Estate, and hopefully everybody's out under no shade, under no protection, so hopefully they're not being too rained upon. Anyone in the studio a Jack Johnson fan, or did I just embarrass myself?
No. I'm sure there'd be, you know, there's a few songs of his. There's a reason that they go so popular. So, I mean, we've had to play a few of his covers before.
Just to get as a classic.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was the voice of Raj and Guy, and not of Timber, who's also in here as well, from those Lethals?
Yeah.
And so do you a couple of covers, do you?
In this outfit, we don't do any Jack Johnson covers, no, but we do we do play a few covers here and there, mainly from those earlier sort of decades around 60s, 70s, and then because we've got such a wide variety of instruments, we can kind of rework them in a slightly different way. So, I mean, if we were to do a Jack Johnson cover, it would end up sounding a little bit too much like Jack Johnson.
Okay. I'm kind of picking up what you're putting down, I guess. But you're not here to promote your Jack Johnson covers.
No, I don't. I don't think the Jack Johnson cover band is going to be viable. So no.
I don't know if anyone's listening and they're thinking Jack Johnson cover band, that sounds pretty sweet. Maybe they could send us a message on Kick Arts, and I'll just start to gauge what your audience might be. If there's enough of a, how many people have to message through before you say that you'll do a Jack Johnson covers band?
You can send through as many messages. It would take quite a few before we'd even consider it.
Enough people for them to all come to the show. Profitable.
Yeah, that's true. I hope Jack Johnson's not listening right now behind.
Oh God! Like stage. Backstage before a show or something. That would just be mortifying.
So, what is it that you are promoting here tonight?
So we've we're in the final stages of getting our EP sorted. So we've been a band together for just over 2 years now, and we kind of picked our five best tracks, got them recorded in a storage unit, actually, came out sounding real good. So, yeah, we're going to be hopefully pushing that out in the next few months or so. So, yeah, that's what we're here flogging as our wares. And, yeah, we haven't got any major Auckland shows coming up. We've got one in Tauranga beginning of January. I think it's the 4th, if there's anyone listening down those ways. Yeah, so we're just really keen on pushing out this EP to people who are really into alternative folk or indie folk, whichever bucket of genre you want to put us in.
Has it got a name?
Yeah, we're going to be titling it Weathers and Pieces.
I didn't know that. Awesome.
Yeah, man. Comes to band meetings.
Weathers and Pieces, like,
yeah, so that's like one of the
W-E-A-R?
One of the tracks. Yep, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the songs off the EP, and I really wish Liz was here to kind of explain what that song is about, because I have not the foggiest in terms of like what it actually means. Everybody has their own sort of interpretation of what a song can mean, but
yeah,
it's probably wrong.
Is that something that you're quite that maybe you promote or is involved in the songwriting process, that everybody's going to have its own interpretation and maybe you keep it kind of ambiguous, or are you trying to...
I don't know. I think Liz usually writes like her own lyrics as she sings, so she's probably got all of her own, you know, it just kind of comes out of her. And I don't know, we do discuss it a little bit as a band, but it's kind of like her thing for the most part. Liz and Lane kind of write the songs together, so...
Cool. And they're going to be joining us a bit later, aren't they?
As in like right now.
They've just had a gig at, in Browns Bay.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah, they just finished that one. So should I pop out and go get them?
Yeah, pop out and go get them. And then let's introduce the rest of our guests, and then maybe we could launch them with a song if you guys are ready.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Cool. And welcome Imogen, Bianca and Rosie. I'm sorry because I just said your names and didn't look at the right person at them. Do you want to tell us why you're here today? The exciting reason.
Sure, kia ora. We are here from Atameta Dance Company. We are putting on a show next week, opening Wednesday night, and so we're here to talk about that show, encourage people to come along and just share a little bit about it. Hello.
Sorry, listeners, you're hearing us just squeeze a whole lot of people into the room. Cool, so you're here to talk about a dance show that you're putting on.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the concept behind the show? What is your reason? Why are you doing it?
So the core concept behind the show is exploring death, transformation, afterlife within the framework of Te Ao Māori, but also including the individual experiences of different people involved in the project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our choreographer, Kelly Nash, has been facilitating and directing our process, exploring that kaupapa. Yeah, what do you guys think?
Yeah, kia ora. My name's Bianca Hislop. I'm another dancer in this new full-length work by Atameta Dance Company. The word Atameta itself means stage or platform, but it's also, in a traditional sense, the platform where the deceased or the body is laid to be prepared before it, you know, takes on a new transformation. So Atameta was a company that was formed in 2000, and in 2017 we're now creating a work, like a self-titled work called Atameta, and really going back to the roots of that word.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, deepening our understanding of that.
I think also like incorporating our own experiences into the piece as well. So, like, each of us have had different experiences around death or different experiences around tragedy or
loss
or some type of platform where we've had to go through different stages of, like, trauma or something like that. So I think that's what Kelly also wanted to bring into the work as well, not just necessarily, like, a classic life and death and all those type of things around it.
Yeah, so it's the whole concept is quite deep, it sounds.
Yeah.
Like it's really got lots of different layers to it, and a lot of that is really subjective.
Yeah.
And will be subjective for the person who comes in and views it as well.
For sure. There'll be lots of different readings for different people.
Yeah. Do you think that as a viewer, they would have to know that it was about death before they went in to interpret that? Or
I think it would become fairly obvious pretty quickly, like just the symbolism and the way that everything is presented and the atmosphere that is created does.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be quite an immersive experience. It certainly is as a performer. But it's on quite a large scale, and the word layers that you used is quite relevant because the people that will come to see the show will see the set itself reflects that idea of layers and multiple realms, exploring not just, you know, death as in the loss of, you know, someone in your life now, but what happens to people when they die, and what that process is, where they might go, what the afterlife might be.
Yeah.
And this sort of spiritual side of death and how that is known in Te Ao Māori. Yeah.
How has Kelly, because is that right that she's choreographed it, so she's had her ideas, but she's also wanted the ideas of the dancers and the other creators as well, and that as well, or just you mainly as dancers? Sorry, that was a weird question.
Yeah, so we've got the choreographer, who's actually more like a director role.
Okay.
So the dancers also are included kind of in the choreography. She tasks us to create movement. But we also have collaborators. Help me out, Eden Maholland, who's
doing the music design.
Genius. We've got
Poppy Serrano doing set design.
Yes, we've got Millie.
We've got Jeremy.
The beautiful vocals. Jeremy Fern, who's on lighting.
Yeah.
We've got a huge, amazing Lou Weasportiki Bryant on AV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really rich team of collaborators.
Yeah.
Dancers, performers, and Kelly's leading it all as the director, choreographer.
Whoa, that sounds like a huge show.
Yeah. It must be close to 15 of us or something, 20 of us working on it.
I think
20.
Yeah. She must have some very special skills to be able to facilitate that, and especially with a topic like death, where that is sensitive. You know, to like, how has that been done in terms of like safety, I'm wondering, for you guys, but also for the viewers that come in, that like, you used the word immersive before, and that like immediately made me want to come in and see it, because I was thinking about like my personal experiences of death and of loss, and how that has been very layered.
Well, Kelly also has a healing practice, like a very rich healing practice. She does body work and other forms of healing, and she brings that energy to her work as a director. So you feel like, as a collaborator, you feel very safe. Like, you're not cushioned; you're still challenged and pushed to do things you might not have thought you could do, or push your creative boundaries. But it's all in a very rich context, so you feel really whole in the process. And so I think the audience will feel that as well. They'll feel the way that process has been for us, and I think that will translate into the performance.
We went on a huge journey together on the first day of rehearsals. Kelly Nash's partner, Nancy Weejohn, who's a performer in the piece, her mother passed away on the first day of rehearsal, so it was very auspicious. And we all went down to the Tangi in the Uruweras together as a rōpū, as a group, and to support Nancy and be there for her. But then that kind of, you know, stopped the process naturally, as it would, but it's also kind of carried through in the way we've worked, and we've also been trying to uplift and find the beauty that comes from death and not make it dark and solemn, and just seeing
one of the kind of key aspects of the work, which I think stands out for me, is the care that is shown in the work for people that are dying, or the people around a death. There's like a expression of manaakitanga. We have a scene which we call the manaakitanga scene, and a lot of learning about how you facilitate people through a grieving process was gathered by us from going with Nancy and her family, and having the privilege of being there and supporting them in that time. So, the process, as you can see, has been very, very rich and full of a real, real life meaning.
I think as someone who's New Zealand European Pākehā as well, I've noticed that my parents both speak Māori, and it's been something very much within our family that even though we're of European descent, that we've tried to have a very respectful and encouraging view, and also our behaviours around like the partnership of like Māori and Europeans within the country. And something that definitely was a part of my upbringing growing up was talking about the differences in how Māori and Europeans might deal with death. And I thought that was really interesting, you saying how you all went to the tangi together, and this idea that if you've got some kind of a connection, you're welcome to come and to grieve and to be there and share your experiences, which is very different from a European idea, which is like, oh no, I'm not going to go, I only met that person a couple of times and it's kind of awkward and it's on a Tuesday afternoon and I should maybe just stay at work, you know. And it's that's something that I've always found that was really to be learnt from Māori culture, like a more of a community view. And I'm just wondering if maybe you could speak to that in terms of like that as a subject matter for the dance, but also how that might have been like a different or a good way to go about the whole kind of production as well, like very much, because it seems as though, especially from the beginning, all going down together to the tangi, that it's like a bit of like a fun or kind of a vibe.
So you're kind of like talking to
sorry, that was a weird question.
No, that's okay. I sort of hear what you're saying, like you're talking about like the aspect of relationships and death, like, and when a death happens, how people kind of carry themselves in relation to how well they might know the person or the family, or I suppose it's because Māori culture really fosters and values relationships between people. So I suppose even if you don't know someone that well, if you whakapapa to them or you're a relative or you you know them in some way, then you are welcome, because that's a connection to foster, because it's important to it's important to the people.
Was that were there positives that came out of that experience happening right at the beginning in terms of how you bonded as a group?
I think there was definitely some positive outcomes from that, because we all travelled down together in a van, so we got to talk about all the different questions that Kelly wanted us to kind of think about while we were going to the tangi. And also I think it was good to think about ourselves and how we were experiencing it as well, and we kind of all shared our different experiences or what we were feeling, or just general things like how do we present ourselves, or how do we, like, what's the protocol and stuff like that. So it was really good because it brought us closer, and I think it's helped us in this process because we're all kind of there for each other now. If one of us are having like a bit of a down day or something like that because of the process, then we're all kind of connecting into that vibe, and we can like bring it up a little bit.
I've been reflecting this week on what a brilliant phrase point of view is. This idea, and I was talking to one of my friends who said that I forget the name of the scholar, but there's some there's a Māori scholar who writes about point of view as this idea that it's like you're on a maunga, and like you look around, and that's just like, it's just you on this mountain, and you can see what you can see, and other people are on their mountains and they can see what they can see. And I just think it's so great, this idea that like we can have a collective experience, but the way that we see it is so different. And I love this. Like, I'm so really want to come and see your piece now, because I love this idea of that you've all come in and been able to share and talk to your experience as well, and how you see it from your, like, from your maunga, from your point of view as well.
It's quite interesting how like a like finding out someone else's point of view can help add context and like meaning to your own, because it's like your own point of view doesn't really, you don't really even know that you have it until you know someone, what someone else's is like. So that's quite it's really interesting. I find
I just want to say sorry, because I've been very rude to Lane and Lucy.
Liz,
I'm so sorry. I was just doubly rude. Now, I'm sure you guys have spent, another group who have spent a lot of time in a van together, presumably.
It's been a while.
Cool. Sorry, I'm going to have to ask you as well to talk directly into the mic,
because
you forgot the, you missed the...
missed the pep talk.
Talk where I talk about mics. Now, if I quickly play a song through my phone, then maybe we could set up for you guys, those lethals, to play a song in the studio. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to actually put on some Paul McCartney.
Okay.
because he's playing next week. And we just played some Jack Johnson because he's playing tonight. And then we're going to play some Paul McCartney because he's playing next week. And I'm super excited. But I am going to give you guys a... I'm going to give you four song options. And you guys can choose. We can do it by vote. Their Wonderful Christmas Time. Which, by the way, I hate Christmas music, but I do love Paul McCartney, so I will allow this one. 4 or 5 seconds, because, you know, we're contemporary. Live and Let Die, or Maybe I'm Amazed.
That's an interesting four choices.
I'd go for Live and Let Die, yeah.
Live and Let Die? Are we feeling, is that a consensus?
Yeah. It's quite topical.
All right. So I'm going to play Live and Let Die. We're going to set up for those Lethals to play us a song, and listeners, we will... I was about to say see you again in a few minutes, but it's talk to you again. We will talk to you again in a few minutes. Cool. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. And my phone has decided to have a problem, so I'm going to talk for more seconds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone got a joke? No?
No.
No jokes. Okay. Let's see if it wants to play this one. I might have to play a song that's loaded on my phone. All right, guys, I'm going to just find a random song.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, here we go. This one's... I just found a playlist that I don't remember making called Kick Arts. So I think it was meant to be. And it's got one song on it, so we only have that choice. And it's a tune. It is, if I may say, a freaking tune. It's Super Organism, who are the Eversons, who are a local band who have now moved to London. They've got themselves like this rad Japanese singer. And This Is Something For Your Mind by Super Organism, if my phone wants to play it. Oh, yeah, here we go. Good work. Phone.
Oh, damn it. Can't hear it. I know you think I'm a psychopath. Democrat lurking in the dark. This sucks, I'm the Kmart soldier. So do trash, I kept the stash of coca candy straight from Japan. Hologram and she was never as near. Think you know what I need to get by. Something for your mind. So that was the jam. That was the jam that was meant to be. The one track that was downloaded on my phone from the playlist Kickarts that I don't remember making. Something for Your Mind by Super Organism. Fans?
Did you like it? Say yes. Everybody's nodding. Yes. No, I just got a whole lot of blank faces.
We were talking that whole time.
We were rearranging the studio so that we could. I actually sent a Snapchat to the regular host, a photo to the regular host, Richard, before the show, saying, the one show you missed is the one show we tried to fit a double bass into the studio, and I'm very impressed that we've been kind of able to do it. Are you comfortable, Tim?
I'm good.
We got a thumbs up. So what song are you going to play? What's it about?
So this song is called Ancient Beast. I wrote this song, I can't remember if I wrote it here or when I was living in South Korea. I moved back from South Korea maybe 3 years ago. I'd been teaching there for about 4 years. No, I must have written it when I got back, because the song is about coming home and you're looking forward to it so much, and then it actually feels more foreign to be home than it was to be overseas, and kind of like the sadness of that. And it's also a breakup song, which basically half my songs are. Yeah.
Cool. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Do you want me to count you in? Is that going to be... Raj shook his head, so...
Raj is going to get possessive if someone else starts doing it.
Okay. Go for it. All right, when you're ready.
You feel like some ancient beast inside. Oh, but you're back. And you can't say that he didn't try.
That was amazing.
Thanks.
When you guys are famous, I'm going to be like, yeah, I know those Lethals. They came on my radio show ages ago. That was so cool.
Thank you.
So that is going to be on your EP?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
That's one of them.
There's
five songs on there. That's one of the more mellow ones. Mm-hmm.
How long have you guys been making music together? Because this is the first release of any music that will be coming out from you guys?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few years. Me and Liz have been, like, playing together as a duo for a bit longer than the band's been together.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So how long has that been a thing?
I think I moved back here, like, 3 years ago, and we were set up on kind of like a musical blind date. Like, I came, back from South Korea, and I had, like, a great band there, and I just said, like, find me someone, anyone who I can play music with, and Elaine had acted in a play with my best friend, that's how we met, and then yeah. Lane recruited these guys.
Yeah, marshaled the troops, and here we are.
Cool, and because you guys said as well that, Tim and Raj, that is it this band that plays in some kind of other little... I'm doing stuff with my hands, but that doesn't work because it's radio. But do you work in other kind of formations as well? That was the point.
Yeah, me, Raj and Liz... playing like a covers band, like a trio, called Daisy and the Chains.
Oh, great name.
Yeah.
And Guy, I recognise you from Barlow Brigada as well.
Oh, cool.
I did my Spotify Wrapped Up this week, and one of my top songs...
Was it Ricochet?
Was Ricochet.
Everyone's Ricochet for some reason.
Yeah.
I sound unnecessarily angry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you. It's just because that's an older song, but like... Because I've seen heaps of people with that Spotify thing.
Yeah.
And it's all, like, if they've got Balu Brigada, it's always Ricochet. So we didn't even know. I didn't know that song was that popular. But
it's
there you
a
go.
Great song. It's so good. Fun fact. Could you not buy Balu Brigada? I know the whole rap to that.
Oh,
and I'll do that one day.
One of those ones.
One day if, like, the studio goes silent and I've got no questions, I'll just start rapping it.
Yeah.
Because it's the only rap I know. That seems to be, because I'm not a musician, but I definitely see a lot of local music, and it seems as though you see the same people popping up in different bands.
Especially Guy.
Especially Guy. But people like Ivan Sal Valentine, you see him in a few different things.
And he's in the Beths.
And the Beths. And Guy's Elizabeth. Liz.
Right, just, yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. You're one of the baby shakes?
I am a baby shake.
That's so funny. And Elizabeth Stokes, obviously from the Beths, and the guy from the Beths from the baby shakes with the long hair and the glasses.
Jono.
He was playing last week for Aldous Harding. And I was like, man, you're in every single band.
He's played with her. He's played with Princess Chelsea and Clap Clap Riot. He's all over the place, old Jono, yeah.
Why do you think that is, that you see the same people popping up? Like, is the community too small, or do people just... Or is that the way that people only do music? What is it?
It's just kind of like an Auckland thing. Like, well, I don't know. Like, it's just, you know, obviously we're a smallish city, and there's, like, a pretty tightly knit music community. Pretty much everyone knows each other, and everyone's in each other's bands, and, like... I don't know, sometimes bands need fill-ins or extra members, and yeah, everyone just recruits. Yeah, I suppose that's why you see, lots of people playing lots of different bands. The other thing is, if you want to be a professional musician and, like, pay your rent, you kind of have to be in as many bands as possible so you can actually have gigs every week.
Yeah. Are all of you musicians full-time, or how does that work? Tim, because Tim, you're not talking.
This is a mysterious
thing. I was really excited to have a friend in. because you're studying music, right? This is your second music degree.
This is the second music degree that I've started, yes.
And you play in how many bands?
How many fingers and toes do you have? I don't even know.
Are you actually counting in your head and saying because it's hard?
Like, maybe six.
Six?
Yeah.
And you're able to do just that?
Well, most of my income is from... I'm lucky enough to have some regular gigs at some places in town, and this pub up in Oriwa called The Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a mixture of jazz and like just pub covers and stuff.
You say lucky enough. Like, is that not very common for musicians to have regular gigs?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
It's pretty mean if you can book a high-paying one.
Yeah. Also, I teach as well. I teach music.
Yeah.
Would
that be a pretty common way that musos be able to do music?
Yeah, definitely, I reckon.
If you're not teaching, you're doing real well.
Do you find that, like, how do you find... Do you still enjoy the music when you're teaching it, or is it... Like, how is that? Does it just feel like work?
I think it probably depends on the student, really, and what kind of vibe you have with them. I think, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm like almost all of my students are just like younger kids who are like either like you get them from they've never had a lesson or whatever. So it's mostly just like learning like Despacito or whatever. I only have like one or two students that I that actually like learn music that I like.
Do they get to tell you what they want to learn?
Yeah. Well, I usually say to like kids like, hey, like what are you know like do you what songs do you like at the moment? And they can like name like an Ed Sheeran song or something. But if they don't, then like they get classic rock. So
why do you do that? Why do you let them choose? Is there a particular reason?
Because they're more likely to enjoy it and like in practice, and they're like, yeah, it's the song that I heard off the radio, and I can play it on guitar.
It was like when everybody knew the beginning to the Black Parade on the piano.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that still happens with people our age. That you'll be like, it's like Wonderwall. Like when everyone's like, do you know this one? And brings out Wonderwall, and it's the only song they can play. So then you hear it like 5 minutes later, they're playing it to somebody else at the party.
I reckon the one you get on piano nowadays is Clocks, Coldplay. Like everyone does that little thing. Everyone can play that on piano.
Not me.
How is that like in the dance community as well? Like, would there be many dancers that do dance full time, or?
Yeah, I was relating quite a lot.
Yeah.
As freelance dancers, we dance for like multiple different companies. So you go to a different show and you're like, hey, it's that same dancer that was dancing for the other company. So it's the same thing with the tight knit, you know, small community in Auckland. But if people have to have many talents to survive as a dancer. I think being a musician might be the only thing that's more challenging or equally as challenging as dance.
Well, maybe you have the same issue with rehearsal space, because, you know, as a dancer, you need space. And you can't just have like a random room. You got to have a room that's like not going to kill you. The floor's not going to destroy your legs and your bones, you know, like...
Centrally located with enough space.
Yeah.
It's probably a bit more hectic for you guys.
Well, because you need a decent size too. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to make little lounge dances all the time. You can make some pretty good stuff in your lounge, though.
Do you find as well, then, that you've got to be able to dance different genres to be able to work for different companies, or...?
I think that's kind of the best way to pick up work, is if you can do various different styles for various different things. So if you can do commercial, you can pick up a lot of those commercial gigs that you see people do.
Sign the same as where the money's at.
Commercial
corporate gigs.
Corporate gigs like that. They always like the wow factor.
What is that? What is a commercial corporate dance? Sorry, you'll have to educate me.
You describe it. Yeah, all the words we're going to bring out will be like dance vocab words, like sort of split leaps and like, I don't know.
Showy kind of.
It's kind of like a. If you think of.
So you think you can dance?
Those classic, like, you know, turning, big wow, split jumps and second, really flexible thing.
To the music, like to lyrics, you know.
And
like,
how is that different from not contemporary dance?
It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. I think it depends on what type of style you're into.
Yeah.
And plus your facility as well, like your body. If your body is really flexible, then, you can... you know, kick a leg up or do a few turns, but if your body's not as flexible, then you can use it in other ways. So, like, you can maybe pop a few locks and stuff like that, or, you know.
Bring out your moves.
Bring out your moves.
So, contemporary, I suppose, oh, man, it's so hard to define. It's so hard to say what contemporary dance is. Probably there's the same thing in contemporary music. Like, what the hell is that? but, yeah, it's. I suppose it's, like, very...
There's like ideas and themes behind what we, you know, stories that build up the dance rather than just moves for the sake of it. It's kind of
it's experimental. It's always new. Like it's trying to be new, or it's trying to express things through new states, new ways of moving, creating new moods. It's kind of similar to like abstract art or something like that in a way.
Is there like the pop music equivalent of dance? Like, is there like, oh yeah, that's
so mainstream. Yeah, that's commercial or like
commercial dances. Yeah. You know, like Periscope and stuff like that. It's kind of like you hear that and you're like, oh, I know what they do, and it's more like the hip hop scene and stuff like that.
And like within hip hop, then there's like all these sub genres within that, and then within contemporary, you know, like you can have like that more lyrical commercial contemporary, and then the kind of contemporary we're doing. But then every like contemporary dance company in New Zealand or group would have their own thing that they're exploring and their own kind of signature, and you kind of learn to like be like, oh yeah, that's very Black Grace, or that's very Atameta, or that's very, you know, you kind of get the sense of what the flavour of the work that company makes is, or that choreographer.
Yeah.
Because they kind of have a signature, kind of like a filmmaker has a signature.
Cool.
Or an auteur kind of vibe. Yeah.
So I have a question. You guys are going to think I'm really educated. so Sia, who is here during the week, her dancer, Maddie Zilver. I just knew it started with a Z. She would be contemporary dance.
She'd be commercial contemporary.
She'd be commercial contemporary dance, because in the videos there, like, she's like dancing all along, like very literal to the lyrics.
Do I get
it?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that in like other contemporary dance that you won't get that, but often you'll get that, but it will have a commentary, or it will have like a kind of irony, or it will have other layers. Like, it won't just be that. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing wrong with that though. Like, it's awesome. All kinds of dance have their own zing.
So would you individually would have the way that you describe the kind of dance that you do?
It's really hard. You just gotta see it. So those are trying to explain to people, you're like, just come see what I do. Like, I can't explain it.
Fair enough. Do you study dance?
We all did. We're all graduates from either UniTech or the New Zealand School of Dance.
Okay. How did you find that?
Well, I'm originally from Australia, Brisbane, and at the time I was like, I want to be a professional dancer. So I just actually looked it up online and then did the auditions and then came over in 2015.
So did you move to do dance?
Yeah.
To New Zealand?
Yeah. Well, my dad's originally from New Zealand, so I was able to get citizenship, so therefore I was able to get the student loan and stuff like that. But I've always wanted to, like, come over to New Zealand and live, so I didn't really have too much of an issue.
It's a very prestigious school, the New Zealand School of Dance. Half of them are Australians.
Well, yeah. A lot of them are made up of, like, Australians, from all over, really.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was like, if you wanted to have a career, from what I saw on the internet, like, the New Zealand School of Dance was pretty up there, pretty top.
And did you learn contemporary dance from?
I was actually classically trained for a while, and then I kind of slipped into contemporary, and it wasn't until I started at the school that I hardcore went for contemporary and kind of stopped the ballet side of things.
Yeah. How about you, Bianca? Did you?
Yeah, I went and studied contemporary dance, and I didn't even know what contemporary dance was. I'd done jazz classes kind of once a week, and I had some idea that I wanted to go learn how to dance after school, so I signed up to UniTech doing a Bachelor of Performing and Screen Arts, majoring in contemporary dance, not really knowing what that meant, and then actually interned with Atameta Dance Company when I was second and third year, I think. Just kind of fell in love with it. And I never thought I'd end up as a performer. I kind of thought I would, you know, do a degree and then go off and do something else. But it's been 7-ish years now, as a freelancer in Auckland, and I've never had another job.
Wow.
So I'm very, very, very lucky.
Is that is it kind of just happened that way, or have you actively tried for that?
I've actively tried in the way that I've actively not got a job, because I see that pattern a lot. You know, if graduates fall into full-time work, suddenly people don't think they're available. Like, you have to always be there ready and available if you want to be receiving the work. So, I mean, I lived at home for a long time until I was in my mid-20s, and that helped. That helped a lot. But yeah, it's just really being and, you know, turning up.
Yeah,
always being there.
Yeah, and you're keen, eh?
Yeah.
Do you have to plan quite far in advance what you're going to be doing, or do you something finishes and you're all?
I'm a Capricorn, and I would quite like to, but that is not the case. I don't know what I'm doing next month. You know, you just have to kind of live. If you know what you're doing next week, awesome. Like, you're winning.
I've got a friend who's an MD, a musical director, and he works incredibly hard doing that, and he absolutely refuses to get a job that's not directly related or as an MD. And he finds that the opportunities just come because people know he's incredibly hardworking and he's just available, and he will make himself available, so he'll work incredibly long hours to make it work. And it's really inspiring to see that he's just hungry for it, so it's just going to... Yeah, it's very cool, and I think that's the impression that I get, that people in the industry, that's just kind of how you have to do it, right? I'm getting a lot of nods in the room, but again, it's radio, so people aren't getting
yes,
that.
Yes, like, we all. Yes.
I concur.
How about you? How have you? What's your journey been like?
Went to UniTech. I actually just graduated at the end of last year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's been an amazing year out. I feel really, really grateful to be doing this work with Atameta. As a fresh graduate, it's awesome. it was great. It was a great experience at UniTech. I had a really tight-knit class, and they're all still dancing and doing awesome things. Wow. And, it is hard. There aren't that many... jobs in the dance industry, you know, so I'm always just amazed looking at all my classmates, seeing what they're doing, and they're still dancing, and they're still, or some of them have gone on and you know, changed pathways as well, but I think we all got so much out of doing that course.
Do they do as a part of the course, because I've just finished a course at UniTech, which is in counselling, and one of the things that really lacked from the course was actually us getting some help with how we can actually get into the industry and get into the work. Is that something that's included as a part of the UniTech course, that they kind of, like you said, that you have to do some hours with a group outside of UniTech?
It kind of depends on what's going on in the dance community around the time that you're there, but it's really, you know, the dance community is so interlinked, so you have guest choreographers coming in, guest teachers coming in all the time, all who will be practicing dancers and artists. So yeah, you get exposed to a lot of people from the industry coming in all the time, and you have a big grad show at the end of the year, kind of similar to New Zealand School of Dancing.
A lot of the time, like, you also are able to, like, I know that the New Zealand School of Dance, they pushed a lot for, like, secondments, where, like, you can message or email a company and see if you can come over and just kind of intern with them, get a feel for, like, what they're all about. And it's also...
Make some connections.
Yeah, and it's also a good idea because it's, like, they get to see you outside of, like, an institutional setting and see how you can actually fare in the industry as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that's something that's really special about Atameta Dance Company, is the range of performers. Like, in this particular show, we've got dancers with 20 years experience, and we've also got fresh grads, and they're dancing together. And that's something that Atameta really prides himself in doing, is kind of having that platform and seeing the development and all being on stage performing together. It's like quite a unique...
It's a good learning experience as well. Obviously for us fresh grads, like Rosie and I, who've only been out for like a year or 2 years, it's quite nice to be around all the experienced dancers and just listen to like their stories and their training or just their style or how they've managed to have this long career and stuff like that. And it's quite inspiring and hopeful for us for the future.
Yeah, hopefully. Totally.
And it's quite a Māori value.
Tuakana tēnā.
Yeah, tuakana tēnā, but also in the...
having, you know, children with adults and elderly all kind of learning off each other and all being in the same environment rather than separating them. So Artemita really has that belief that we can all learn off each other. And
We've had Millie, one of our performers, has had her girls, one's like 7 or 8 and the other's like 3, and then she's also hapu, she's pregnant, so it's really beautiful. And then we've got our queer Tui, who's there as well at the moment, so we've got like all sorts of age ranges in the room. It's really beautiful.
We are quite lucky on the show that we get quite a few people actually in from Unitech who are talking about shows that they're putting on. Is that something that you guys have had to do as dancers, like put on your own work or and produce your own work as well, like do the marketing and stuff? I'm getting 2 big nods and 1 big crossing. what's it called? We're shaking your head. That's what it's called.
I think it kind of depends on like what you're interested in. Like for me, I don't think I have enough experience yet to be able to put on my own show and stuff like that. But I just like to be more a part of someone else's show. I'm more into that. But I know that Rosie, she's put on a few of her own shows, and Bianca as well. So they could have a different take on it.
Mm-hmm. How do you find that? Why have you put on your own shows? Has that been to create some work for yourself and other people, or other reasons?
In terms of dance shows outside of, because we got to make our own work when we were at Unitech as well, as they did at New Zealand School of Dance, we have choreographic projects. Outside of Unitech, I'm a member of a collective that I co-founded with some friends called Dance Plant Collective. Check us out on Facebook.
we made a show. Link that and we'll put a post up over the next couple of days and link the band page and your guys' event page, and I can link that as well. What was it called again, sorry?
Dance Plant Collective.
Dance Plant Collective. Great.
It's good. And we made a show at the beginning of this year, super collaborative. We had about 6 weeks, and we put it on in Samoa House and produced it ourselves. We had a lovely guy, Paul Bennett, who did our lighting design and operation and helped us set up, but we had to like pack in and out of the space every night. You know, it's full on, you know, and we were working for that 6 weeks. We were working like hospo jobs in the evening, so you'd go to like work at 4 and then work until like midnight, and then you'd start rehearsal at 9 the next day.
Oh my gosh.
And then I had another job and another job, so it was one of those things. Afterwards I was like, this is awesome, and we had such a great time and we're so proud of the work we made, but you can only do that a few times, like once a year maybe, because you just get so exhausted. I think it's really important part of being a fresh graduate is to make your own work, just to put yourself out there and you know, because there aren't that many opportunities for paid dance work, you just gotta, you know, if you want to stay keeping yourself involved, you've got to make your stuff, I think, keep it alive. That was really cool. That's my main experience in the dance world, but I've made something in theatre. I've done some stuff in theatre as well, but that was quite different.
How about you, Bianca?
I guess it's just kind of a natural progression as a performer and dancer, and then you know, you start to question, you know, what you want to say, and you know, your own expression starts to come out, and you want to start creating. So that's kind of happening to me at the moment, where I've started to kind of just touch into choreography, and but I would really like to kind of move in that direction and start making work of my own, and I kind of just see it as a natural progression as a dancer into a choreographer, and then maybe into a director, or who knows, you know, as you climb kind of up the ladder and kind of expand your horizons and get new experiences. And
there's sort of different pathways. Everyone comes at it from different angles. Like some people graduate and then they make their own work and they kind of find platforms that way and keep momentum as an artist that way, and other people, you know, freelance all over the show. Some people get full-time company jobs, you know. It's so different for everyone.
We've had now I forget her surname, but I'm going to take a stab at the dark. Jennifer DeLong, you might know.
Oh, she's Jennifer DeLeon.
We've had her in the show a couple of times, and I went and saw her show. It was called Earth
Bugs, Worms and Desire.
Worms and Desire, which was like nothing I'd ever experienced before, but I really, really loved it. At one point she just lay on the ground for like 5 minutes, and it was so like meditative. It was just like, I don't know, it kind of took me something new, somewhere new. But one of the things that I loved about when she came in was how she's super serious about what she does because she's found a space that she loves to work in, and she loves running her she does workshops where anyone can come in and you basically just come in and dance, and then she has her own dance shows as well, and I just thought that was really inspiring, like as someone who's just figured out the way that she wants to do it and she's just going to do it that way rather than there being like a really defined path. Yeah,
she's totally a force of nature, Jenny. She's got her own thing.
She's a great lady. Yeah,
she goes to the same church as me, so we know each other outside of dance world as well.
Everybody knows her. Yeah. She goes into the cafe that my sister works in like every day, and my sister loves her. She just thinks she really looks forward to seeing her. No, Cezanne actually. Oh, yeah,
different cafe.
Different cafe.
she always takes me to Jaffa.
She might do the rounds. Funny.
Yeah.
Hey guys, those lethals. How do you feel about doing another song? Favorable or very favorable?
Those
are
your favorite options. I'm going to go
grab a Tambi. Okay.
What are we going to do? Beat the clouds?
Yes.
Take it up a bit.
I love that sound of like instruments in the studio.
Clanging about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you've got one of those piano mouth things. What are they called?
Melodeon.
It's so amazing. I'm so excited. So what song are you going to do?
Lane wrote this one, so he can introduce it.
It's called Beat the Clouds. It's a banger.
It's a banger. Okay. Yeah, does it any more explanation or just that? Maybe it just requires that.
I wrote it like when I was a teenager, when I was, and it's sort of changed a lot, and Liz has helped with some new lyrics. But it's basically just about wanting to leave New Zealand and travel and being kind of stuck in a rut and bored.
I think a lot of our songs have that theme of, like, a sense of adventure or, like, wanting to get out and see things and do things and, yeah, let loose.
Shall we give it a punt?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Do it.
That's going to be real loud.
Gonna step right out into the fray. Come explore the foreign streets. I'm sick of all my porcelain dreams. Can we be the bachelor leader's place? No clean lines, no dashes to trace. Water down, water clear. Be the kite the wind disappears. So let it rush, let the route be. Scolding and tossing under my.
I'm gonna beat the clouds, gonna sing your name.
I'm gonna have over the rain.
I'm gonna have a sneaky chain.
I'm gonna dance away this pain.
Said I'm gonna be the clouds today.
Could twist sword in our wounds and just smile. Shift the borders of our mind without our resolution lines. I'm gonna stack the words for days. See the color rushing from gray. Your crosses and snares. We don't need
revolt with no tears. And let us free our enemies and mistakes. With open arms and our minds away. Oh, let's be freaks in total. Can't spend. Spend. I'm gonna beat the clouds, gonna sing your name.
I'm gonna hop over the rain.
I'm gonna have a sneaky J.
I'm gonna dance away this pain.
Said I'm gonna be the cloud.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so good. I'm just like sitting here smiling.
Do you guys like play regularly somewhere together?
We don't have any regular stuff, just whatever comes up.
Yeah.
Do you ever make your own gigs, or do you just kind of see what the interest is?
We tend to just get asked.
I haven't been very proactive.
Yeah. People come to us. Yeah.
I think that is what lazy. Happens, though. If you're, like, but if you're good, then it's a small community. People like you see the same, like in the same way that you see the same musicians pop up everywhere. You see the same bands pop up everywhere. Bands like Balu Brigada. I feel like you guys are playing often. What, every 2 or 3 weeks in Auckland?
Pretty often. So, yeah.
Because you guys are really awesome, and people would see you on the bill and go like, "Yeah, cool, that looks good. I'm not doing anything on my Friday night, and that's what I'm going to be doing with you guys now." You guys have got a fan. Have you got T-shirts, or should I just make my own?
Make your own.
Yeah, we'd really like to see what you come up with. Yeah,
it's gonna be epic. What if it's really embarrassing though? And then you guys are like, oh, no, don't want to hear
it. Well, you can have that one.
One of a kind.
That'd be a pretty cool thing if we encouraged all our fans to make their own T-shirt.
Yeah.
So it's just like infinite T-shirts.
They're all official band T-shirts.
You could send them a T-shirt making pack with, like, all of the things they needed.
Oh,
nice. How does it work with, like, sets and stuff? I've never thought about that. Does like a venue just ask you to play, or do you go like, hey, can we play here and we've got an audience and these are the people, or how does it work?
Depends on the venue sometimes.
Yeah, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
And like a lot of our music is quite suited to, I guess, I don't know, having a good time and like partying a little bit, which helps, and, you know, just like catering sets to venues if your music is head noddable.
I guess most of our gigs this year has just been like a band will hit us up on Facebook and be like, hey dudes, we're organising a gig, can you play it? And we'll be like, yeah, or no, we can't. And then we've done a couple of like we played at the Vegan Commercial Vibes Fest. So like once we're like an event needs a band, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing on the 4th of January. What's it called? Beast of a Feast.
Beast of a Feast.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of Vegan Vibes.
Yeah. We played the Vegan one, now we're playing the meat one.
It's got to get the full spectrum of culinary festivals.
So how do you have enough songs that you can kind of go like, oh, these ones are more appropriate or these are less appropriate, or do you also alter, like, you got, I'm assuming that the setup that you've done tonight with, what's the box you're playing, Raj?
This is called a cajon. I don't know too much about the history of it, but it's basically a wooden box with
how did you not study the history of it, man?
Well, you know, you kind of want to know what your instrument is about, but it's just basically got a thin sheet of plywood on the front and some snare wires, and it's really handy for doing cool little acoustic performances like this, because you can't exactly be like, oh yeah, I'll just show up with a drum kit, guys. Like,
yeah. So do you change your setup depending on what kind of it is as well?
Yeah.
And like, how do you do that? How do you decide? Do you just take responsibility for your own instrument? Or
guy normally plays trumpet in the band, and I play electric guitar.
Yeah.
So it sounds quite different.
And you're both playing acoustic guitars.
Yeah.
Sorry for the radio.
Bigger
radio
and more raucous kind of sound live.
unless we do like a stripped down kind of acoustic thing, which is fun as well.
I figured the trumpet might be a bit much in this
Even the melodeon was a stretch.
Well, when your EP comes out, or even actually something for the listeners to be excited for during the holidays, Richard and I are pre-recording a couple of episodes this week, and one of the ones that we're going to pre-record is just like New Zealand summer jams, but New Zealand summer jams, bands that are coming to New Zealand or New Zealand bands that are releasing music. And I actually have some of your music in my emails, so that definitely has to be a jam. So if people want to hear what you guys sound like, actually recorded as well, not in the tiny little studio that I've managed to squeeze you all into, and I'm kind of sorry because it's getting quite hot, then they can look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely, we're looking forward to it too.
Cool. I had a question. From ages ago. So how do you, because is it right that you, Liz and Lane, that you write the songs? What's your process?
I was actually just thinking that's quite interesting, because the two songs we've chosen to play tonight, Lane and I basically wrote separately, and when we first got together we were like, here's what I write and here's what I write, and actually probably most of my songs are a lot more like foot stompy kind of country influence. But then I think the other three songs, no, at least two of the other songs of the album are like the meeting point of our songwriting.
So like I sort of, well, like we jam so that she tends to like lay down melodies on top of the guitar work that I'm doing. And that's how we've made lots of our songs, just me jamming and her like with her lyric notebook.
Actually, a lot of the songs I don't a lot of the time I've written like a number of songs in the past, like with full chord structures, and they've been written for like the bluegrassy band I was in, or like the country slightly punky band I was in, but they've just gone nowhere. I've got like a Google document of like 100 songs or so like that, where I'm like, oh, these lyrics are good, this melody's good, but on its own it's quite simple and it doesn't really fit this band. So often Lane will play something and he's like amazing at really kind of inventive and dynamic and melodic sort of guitar hooks and stuff, and then I'll like think of a song that I wrote like 2 years ago and be like, mash up. And like Where There's Some Pieces, which is one of the songs in our album, is a product of that, and Rather You, another one, heaps of them.
Into Flames is a pretty cool song.
Oh yeah, Into Flames is a song on the EP that is like a slow, sultry kind of jam, but when I originally wrote it, it was kind of like a thrashy,
double time,
kind of double time punky song. And I can't wait for the guys that I was in that band with to hear it, because they're going to be like, what?
What'd you do?
Sounds better.
You're obviously both like incredibly talented songwriters, but do you, how have you found that process and over time of sharing these creations that you've written? Like, you have to be quite vulnerable to do that, I assume, or like, do you develop quite a thick skin, or and how do you treat each other when you're opening that up and you're saying like, hey, I wrote this, what do you think?
Oh, you mean like sharing ideas like with each other and
yeah
band?
It can be a mish sometimes
because sometimes you are like emotionally connected to a song and stuff like that, but I feel like I've played in bands since I was like 18, so like that's like 12 years ago now, and I've had like idea after idea after idea rejected by like, you know, people whose musical opinions I respect. So I do think I've kind of reached a point where like I don't find it too offensive if people like shoot down my ideas. I just go, oh, I've got another idea, I'll use that. But sometimes it does hurt. You're like, no, but that was really good.
How have you persisted through that? Like, do you have a thought in your head that you kind of like remind yourself of to get through those moments, or
I think I just like trust that we'll end up with good stuff at the end of the day. Like, I already feel like we have so many ideas and songs that I'm proud of, and there's so many more that we could write that if one idea doesn't work, it's like, well, there's another one.
Sorry, everyone. You might have just heard my stomach rumbling. That's so embarrassing. It's because
I'm quite hungry as well.
It's because I ate too much. I went to Happy Takeaway in Westmere. It's so good. And I ate way too much. Now, we have about 20 minutes left, but we want to get some shameless promotion in at the end. I'm wondering, would you guys be happy to play another song? Because you're just so good, and I feel like I could have happily listened to you for the whole 90 minutes.
Should we do Where There's Some Pieces?
Probs,
which is what the title
of the EP.
Title of the EP.
Yeah. Title track.
Let's do it.
Sweet.
Standing up straight.
All right.
You're going straight into Hey Sweet?
That's mm-hmm. the one.
This is making me want to be a musician. I feel really jealous. I can play one chord on the ukulele. Can I be in your band?
Hey, sweet baby, you're broken glass. Hey, sweet baby, now holy mass. Swallowed shards and run. Now this is
just so good. So that is the title track of the EP.
Yeah.
How did you choose that to be the, like, why did you choose that name for the EP? Sorry, that was a weird question.
I think it was just, that's the name of the song, that's the song that we wanted to, that we, I don't know if it was our, it's probably...
I think it was the one that we all kind of agreed on that was, like, a good banger.
It's probably the song that's, like, it's going to get in people's heads. Might as well call the EP that, so then it's doubly, like, in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That is, like, it's a straight-up banger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be, like, singing that for the rest of... We had Cricket Farm in a couple of months ago, and they've got that song, you know, the lyric is, I was I waste my time bending spoons with my mind. Yeah. And I still, on like a weekly basis, find myself like doing the dishes, singing that song. That's what it's going to be like with this song as well. So that was Weathers and Pieces by Those Lethals. And I think, let's go into some shameless promotion, guys. A little bit early, but I'm feeling like I've let everyone down with my phone not playing Live and Let Die. So I'm feeling like we should maybe go out with that one, because that's another straight up banger. And Paul McCartney's probably listening going, this is really not fair. They've played the Jack Johnson.
It's really bad to let down Paul.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's not good karma. So when's your EP coming out? How do people get in contact with you guys? How do they find you guys? How do they follow up on when it is coming out, if you guys can't give me a... Because it's coming out sometime, yeah?
Yeah, that's about as concrete as we can get it currently. We're in the very final stages of getting everything done. But you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Facebook. Just search for our name, Those Lethals. And we post regularly enough to keep you updated on what gigs we're doing. But for the EP that's coming out, I'd say, if we were to put a number on it, about 90% done.
Yeah, yeah. It just needs to be...
A few little tweaks here.
Completed. But it should be out in months or in weeks. Months.
Okay, so pretty soon.
Yeah.
Not like when I first went and saw Balu Brigada, I remember that's another straight up banger. Weekend, I heard it one time and it was in my head for so long, and I had to wait like months and months and months and months and months before anything was released.
That song was recorded like in the process of recording for like a disgusting amount of time, like probably 2 years. Just fun, that one song.
Fun fact, me and Raj are both in the music video for the week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and watch it now. That is a good music video. Are you guys going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you guys do any music videos or not because it's an EP?
Well, funny you should say that. We just recorded a bunch of, not music videos in the traditional sense, but us playing a bunch of songs off the EP live in a place called The Bunker in Devonport.
Oh, I love The Bunker. Yeah.
That's dope.
So we'll probably sort of sync those up around when we're releasing to it to build some hype and stuff.
Yeah, so once you see those videos come out, that'll be like, stuff's about to come out. That'll be a good indication.
It'll be all over TV. Yeah.
Full thing go all over
TV. Yeah, yeah.
What are the kids watching on TV now?
I don't know. I don't think anyone has a TV anymore.
Will your EP go up on Spotify? Yeah. That's more a personal question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can add you to my next Kickouts playlist.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, I have more
just
than
the one song.
Just the one song. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So, and I will talk about this again in a few minutes, so sorry I'm about to repeat myself, but we do put up a post a couple of days after the show, so I will tag you guys in. And also, so you guys are playing at, which was the gig you're playing at in January, so people can put it in their calendars.
Beast of a Feast. In Tauranga.
Wait, and that is or is not vegan?
That's definitely not vegan.
Okay. I got confused. I thought that maybe it was meant to be ironic.
Nah.
No.
We played at a vegan festival earlier this year.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is like the...
This is as... it's evil twin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're playing that on the 4th of Jan. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So people can look that up, 4th of Jan. They can do a little trip. They can get in a van and go down to Tauranga.
Or a car or a motorbike. You know,
or a bike.
Anything.
Yeah.
They can come with us.
I got some space in my car.
Yeah. People take a lot of time off over that time and maybe they're wondering what to do. Tauranga, it's a good walk. Yeah,
that's a hearty,
really
hearty
wondering what to do.
Yeah,
yeah, funny. I'm reminded of whenever we were naughty when we were kids. My mum used to start singing to us like, "It's a long walk to Tauranga." Like she wasn't going to take us home, and now we use it all the time as adults.
That
and I'm just
menacing.
Thinking, I'm just thinking now, like of like somebody like out, you know, you're like outside someone's car, like honking the horn, like singing, "It's a long walk to Tauranga." Doesn't really work. Sorry for sharing that, everyone.
No.
I said that.
Yeah, that was
getting to the end of the show. And your guys' show, how do people find tickets? When's it on? What's the time?
It's actually on from the 13th of December to the 16th of December, so Wednesday to Saturday.
Next week,
yeah. And the shows start at about 8 p.m.
Start at 8 p.m., yeah. And you can come earlier. I think their doors open at like 6:45 and there's
Kai is like some really nice different food vendors there, mm-hmm. and there's craft beer and wine.
What venue are you at?
We're at
Corbin
Arts Estate.
Alan Henson's. Yeah.
You can drive, or the train like drops you off like 5 minutes away from where Corbin Arts Estate is, so you can just take the train to Henderson.
Yeah.
And you can get tickets at the Atomedo website.
I'm guessing it's www.atomedadancecompany.co.nz.
Have to Google it, it'll come up.
Yeah.
Or possibly if you like them on Facebook, will probably be the easiest way as well, because the event's all up through their page and they're always sharing different links for where you can get the tickets from and stuff like that.
Yeah, so getting quick because it's selling fast. I think the first night is almost full.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's really amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That must be a good feeling. Is it quite? So what space are you working in Corbin's? Is it the little theatre?
No. It's quite the opposite of the little theatre. It's this huge, big warehouse.
Of course.
It used to be like where the Breakers played.
Yeah.
So it's like a huge, big basketball court that's been transformed into a huge, big, like, space. So it's
That's an incredible venue.
For a dance show, yeah.
I remember once going and seeing a Kapa Haka group perform there, and it just being like goose pimples. It's just like an incredible space. And do you say earlier as well, sorry, I was going to ask and then the conversation went somewhere else, do you say that there's live musicians, because you said that one of the people was a vocalist, is that live music too?
I don't know. Well,
yes or no.
Well, Millie, our vocalist, yeah, she will be singing live. She's got an absolutely incredible voice. Like, It blows my mind the amazing things she can do with her voice. So, I'm really excited to be performing with her. And then Eden Mulholland, our sound designer, is he going to?
Not live. A lot of the music has been created from his own, you know, sounds and voice and vocals. He's creating live as we're all creating together. So he's in the space kind of jamming off us and creating music that will be recorded, and Millie will be singing on top of that.
Has the whole piece been planned around that space as well at the Corbin's Estate?
We've been really lucky to work in the space that we're also performing in. So we've been there for I think a total of 7 weeks throughout the year.
That'll be quite amazing with the like having the acoustics planned to have been in there.
We just hope it doesn't pour down with the rain, because you actually can't hear yourself even talk when you're in the shed when it rains. It's like so cross fingers the sunshine stays out.
I was actually thinking as well, this is what I might do on my way out to see you guys at Corbin's, which would be, did you say, sorry, it was the 13th to the
16th.
Yep. 16th. So it's Wednesday through to Saturday. Is that if it's really beautiful weather, it's really nice to go out to take the off ramp off at Te Aratu, and instead of going left, go right, and then go along, and you can sit at that space. I forget, what's it called, that like park, that big grassy area?
Tetu Peninsula?
Peninsula.
I just recently did that big coastal kind of walk.
Nice.
I never knew it was there.
It's so stunning. Beautiful, and you can like sit there, and there's like little picnic tables, and you can like, you know, look over at how beautiful Auckland is. We're like so lucky to live here, and then go and see you guys at Corbin's Art Estate.
Yes.
Super exciting. Okay, cool. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming in, for jamming into this little room, but it's been totally worth it. It totally worked.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys are so welcome. Like, come back anytime, and especially like after you guys have released your EP, come back and we'll play some. We can do some more songs live in the studio, and we can record some as well. Now, anybody listening who's thinking that they would like to come on and talk about a project that they're a part of, they can like us on Facebook, Kick Arts, or they can send us an email at kickarts1@gmail.com, and we would love to have you on. If you have any questions about the show as well, don't hesitate to send us a message. If you are wanting to buy tickets to the dance show or follow those Lethals on online, then just wait for our post to come out in a couple of days, and definitely like us at Kick Arts if you haven't already. You have been here with me, Georgia. Richard is going to be back next week, and I will be here as well to co-host for him, which is my favourite job, going back. The big red chair, I'm in a big red chair. It's a bit big for me, but it's perfect for Richard, his mohawk looks really good in it. So we will see you next week, and don't forget to go out and kick some arts like this lovely man, Paul McCartney, who we'll all be going out to see next week. on Saturday night. This is Live and Let Die. See you later.
Used to say